Have you ever been told to do something you didn't want to do? Well, yeah, my parents ought to let me do this. Just did the same thing Satan did to the woman in the garden. Same system. Walter Benjamin, a Marxist, studied sentence structures to use on man. He found it in the Word of God. You know how new the New Age is? Try Genesis 3, 1 through 6. There's nothing new under the sun. Ever been in a consensus meeting? With sensuousness, we have come to the truth through sensuousness. Same pattern that Eve did. Because once the knot is gone, you will not die. She didn't say, will too, will not, will too, will not. You know, that whole cannot, can too? That was gone. Because once you share your, once your children share their oddities, once your legislator shares his oddity, you lost your representation. That's how it's done. I'll cook them in one session. And so she shared, nor touch it. I ought to be able to touch it. Oh, you won't die. And from there on, she's a thinker. This is all reasoning. Because what does she say? She looks at treats, good for food. By the way, she's godless. She's lawless. Same system of the Antichrist, the lawless one. Because her law is her. She is what she sees. She sees all these trees, they're good. And she sees this tree, and it's called communism. Communism? Communism. There's nothing wrong with that tree. Scientifically, she was right. It was good for food, pleasing the eyes, desires to make one wise. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride. But it was no longer lust. Because if it's justified, it's not lust. It's normal human behavior. She was practicing psychology. That was good counseling. That's the steps of counseling. Therapy. For normals, as Rogers would call it. And so once she justified it, there's no conscience. See, this is conscience over here. This is consensus. There's no conscience in consensus. How do you get from conscience to consensus? You have to go through confusion. Because you're sitting in a meeting going, if I share the truth, I'm not going to be respected by men. And if I'm not respected by the group, then I'm not going to be a part of the outcome and I'm going to miss out on all the things that they're going to get. I have an article I wrote and I said at the end of this dialectic path, it has a sign, welcome to the gates of hell. Aren't you glad you took this path? Think about all that you would have missed out on if you'd have taken the other one. What is it to gain the world and lose your soul? But if you're not talking about righteousness, that's the soul. Sensuousness is your thoughts and your feeling, your head and your heart. This is a sad thing. Marx understood that. He has two sentences I have in one of my articles. This is pure gospel. In the Holy Family, he actually presents a message you could lead people to the Lord on. Why would he do that? Because you have to identify what it is you want to destroy. That's why I was trained to map the room. I have to identify the traditional students because I want to convert them first. And if I can't convert them, I have to destroy them. It's called annihilation. It's called negation. I have to get rid of this paradigm. You cannot have a new world order with a paradigm of righteousness in the room. The Antichrist can rule with Christians around him. He'll probably have a majority of Christians around him sharing their opinion of God's Word. He cannot handle one who's in the room saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. See, all I have to do is talk this fellowship out of just sharing God's Word. It's powerful. But who's listening? It'll go to the spirit. It goes to the soul. It's not conducive to human relationship building. It might actually get you crucified. That's why you gotta put that to death. You gotta put yourself to death. You gotta be willing to, you have to do yourself first. But you also have to deal with the relationship with others. Why are you concerned? Same with me. Why are we concerned about how people feel about us? Why are we concerned about what people think about us when on the day of judgment, it won't matter? And yet it's such a big part of our life. See, when the Lord changes our heart, He puts a new heart in us, we can speak His truth in love and not in fear. Because we're in His kingdom. The moment you were conceived, you're eternal. We don't even think this way. Roe v. Wade is over this issue. Christians think life begins at conception. They say, well, we're going to go dialectic, Socratic critical thinking. It begins when you see it. If you don't see it, it doesn't exist. That's why these guys want to get in your home, because if they see your children, they own it. What happened to the Babylonian emissary when he went to the temple? Babylon owned the temple. See? So, stay off radar. Because what they see, they own. Because they go by your property, see those beautiful trees, that's dopamine for them. And you say, well, I got to cut them to make some money. You can't cut those because that's their dopamine for the day. See how that works? We're on a culture on a drug. Intoxicated. The Bible talks about it. How do you talk? You ever tried to talk somebody on drugs off of drugs? How are you going to talk? People say, well, how are we going to get this culture off of it? I don't know. I think we're gone off the abyss. I think we're just doing an exponential drop. I'm sort of pessimistic, but if you're looking this way, it is a bummer, folks. But if you're looking this way, you know, the saints were looking forward to what we're on the trip of a lifetime watching unfold around us. Yeah, I'm just saying, whether I don't know the time. I'm not sitting here saying, you know, this day or that day. I'm simply saying to endure. No matter what happens, endure. It's like changing diapers. You endure. It's not a dopamine moment. You endure. And you can endure because when Jesus came, He came in obedience to the Father. Read John. He said, Father, You gave Me these men. Father, I've been faithful to You. Everything in Jesus' life is about the Father. I want you to know My Father. That's why He came. That's why the Father sent Him. It's a ministry of reconciliation. Not to the Son. The Son came to reconcile us back to the Father. And then the Son goes to be with the Father, and they send the Holy Spirit so you can know that love and that peace and that joy that the world, this whole system, can never know. See, are we thankful when the tire blows and the plumbing goes out and somebody runs over our cat? Can we praise the Lord? Not for those things, but praise Him for more important things, which is our soul, for eternity, in joy, in His glory, forever and ever and ever. Now, I want to just share briefly on where I ran into this in seminary. This is very important. The early church, well, the Laws and the Prophets, when they copied Moses' letter, there was a problem there. How do you copy? Do you copy word for word? You know what the problem with copying word for word? Say if you wrote something and I wanted to be around 1,000 years from now. I cannot copy it word for word because language changes, right? And so 20 years from now, somebody might say, well, this word doesn't mean that anymore, which put another word in there, but you just changed the document, didn't you? So what they did was, they came down 12 characters, came in 7, they wrote a 12 and a 7, and they put the character, and they did that for every page, many checks on that page. And then the copyist, you would copy, and then I'd come along and I'd check it, and if there were any errors, it was destroyed. Oh man, I killed Betsy, my favorite goat. Now I gotta burn it. Spent a whole week on that thing. Tough. Because the document's what's important. And here's the pressure. Is once you had the copy made and it passed the test, you destroyed the original. That's how the Laws and the Prophets were copied. When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they dated back 1,000 years. They found out there were only some, you know, minor differences in those documents. This stuff worked. Early church did the same thing. Your fellowship might take Mark, mine might take Matthew, and we'd make a copy for us and one for you, and we'd share, and eventually became called codexes. And that's how the Bible came together. Around 240 AD, a man by the name of Origen took those documents and he filtered them through Gnosticism, which is the dialectic process. It's through feelings, because you have to get into dialogue. Because over here, you just have the original copy. There's no dialogue. There it is. Your will. But over here, he does 6,000 changes. For instance, the Lord's Prayer, he leaves out, to thine be the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Because Gnosticism can't handle that, because it's God's kingdom. See, I have no part in it. I just, he who does my Father's will. That's it. That's his kingdom. It's his power, and it's his glory. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I can't boast of anything. Well, Origen changed that, left that off, and he does these different changes, and he produces his Bible. There's, for the Law and Prophets, a six-column Bible, very complex. Then Eusebius puts it together, there's one, then Jerome makes a Latin Bible, and the Catholic Church uses that. Now, with all these changes, now it forces us to dialogue. So you need the expert, you need a pope, you need somebody who's skilled in the art craft of decoding words and sentences to give you the true meaning of the Word of God. The problem is, you end up with hundreds, if not thousands, of different variations because everybody can put their opinion on it. Well, when the Catholic Church comes across these guys, they burn these books and kill these guys. They come up to Ireland and they find a university there. Wow, they thought they were going to have sheep herders. Here's a university with Latin, or excuse me, Greek and Hebrew, and the languages that these guys had learned. When they finished, they were sheep herders. King James came out of Scotland because in that he had history, because that's what happened there. Because this group was out to kill this group. Because of the method. The method's important. This enforces dialogue into the church. This doesn't. It's written here. It's, well, what do you think? How do you feel here? Well, then, this is the Eastern Church. This is the Western Church. Around 1400, a little later than that, the Muslims came in Constantinople. This group, then, these books are compiled by Erasmus, who gets a hold of them, and he produces eventually what's called the Textus Receptus. The Strong's Concordance is the Textus Receptus. It's a different Greek source than the other source you're going to study in seminary. Do you know that? There are two different Greek sources. What happened was that when Erasmus put it together, then Luther translates from this source over here. Not this source. Because the Catholic Church won't recognize this source. Then Tyndale, he translates to the English. King James has Tyndale killed. Then a year later he goes, oh, Tyndale was right. Didn't help Tyndale any. But Tyndale, when he translated, for instance, he came across the any Greek word that was not in, he couldn't translate to English, he left Greek. Like ecclesia, for instance, he would say that's assembly, that's congregation, cannot be church. Luther used church because he was under the king, and you better use church because it's state church, see. He even writes that he shouldn't do that, but he knows politics. The Geneva Bible, which was translated next, uses church because there again you have the state church system. And King James certainly, he didn't like Geneva because it did criticize the king, and so he left all comments out, but he used the word church. But Tyndale said no. 80% of King James is Tyndale's work. You know, Shakespeare, the singing in here, that's Tyndale. Shakespeare was a boy. 90% of Geneva is Tyndale. And so the translations were all from this source until 1881, when Westcott and Hort, who were involved in the occult, who were dialectic in their structure of thought, who were worshiping Mary, they took over control of a committee that simply found some more documents, and they were going to, like the Articles of Confederation, they were just going to redo a few changes, but it ended up with what? A new constitution. Well, what they do is they bring in three sources called the Vaticus A, Sinaiticus Alpha, and the Codex X. They say, wow, these are 300 AD. All these manuscripts are 800 to 1400 AD, and now we know by carbon dating some of these date back into the 80s. But they didn't have carbon dating back then. So they bought into this date, A, B, and C. But the problem is, this source comes from here. And so what they did was they said, okay, anytime we have a conflict, And this conflicts with this. This source will be an A, and this source will be a D. In other words, these are lower order thinkers. Well, when I'm at seminary, I studied from Esther's Greek. There's all in the Nestle Greek. They use this same system. See, it's man's opinion now. You're free. So now you can go, I feel and I think. And now you need the expert to decode the Word of God. You know what about this source over here? I'm not King James only. Some people get mad at me. There are 16 errors in King James. Yield to the higher power, incorrect in Romans 13. The Greek is authority. Power, I have to yield to Hitler. Authority, I yield to God, and Hitler might kill me, but I say I can die with a clear conscience because I know the word is authority, not power. So that's just good Bible study. Go to Strong's and you'll find the word authority and you can clarify that, see. I'm not King James only, I'm Textus Receptus only. Because God has not left us without His Word. If you go this route, we didn't have the Word of God for 1,500 years. But this Word goes into seminaries, and now you need the philosophy. That's why I have all that philosophy in those classes. How do you feel? What do you think? You send these young men who are on fire for the Lord off to the seminary, and before they come back, they have all this, you know, they come back with all this intellectual, I'm smarter than you mentality. I know Greek and you don't. Well, so what? What's your source? So this has brought confusion. All the contemporary translations are from this source. Now I'm saying get rid of the NIV? No. Just realize that it doesn't have "to thine be the kingdom, the power, and the glory" in it. There are many changes that are in the contemporary ones. Because remember, Tyndale said, I am not going to change the Word of God to fit in the culture. I want to change the culture from the Word of God. People say, well, we have to make the Word of God easy for the next generation to understand. Well, if you want to go intellectually, yes. Leave it the way it is, and they'll study to show themselves approved unto God, and they'll feed their spirit. And so there's a whole battle going on over this issue. Big battle. But it's important to understand it and to know it. Now, whichever side you want to go, that's your decision. I'm just simply saying, if you go over here, you might still stay loyal to the tradition that you were raised in, but what you've done is you've opened up Pandora's box because anybody can go anywhere they want to over here, because this will lead to the ecumenical group hug. We can all get along. We can all reinterpret the Word of God according to however we want to see it. What's neat about over here is every word. This is a Webster dictionary. You go back to the old ones. How did he come up with his definitions? Every word in the King James, for instance, is defined in context. I don't need the Pope. I don't even need the minister. I can sit there and study the Word of God, and God Himself will show me in His Word what He meant. And the Holy Spirit will work with His Word. That was what I ran into, and I didn't understand, again, in seminary, what this was all about. Well, it's the pride of life, man's intellect coming in and saying, hey, God, you need us to decode who you are. It is not a mystery with God. See, He's clear. God's not confused, by the way. We're confused. God knows. We don't know until we get into His Word. Then my people know. We're not destroyed. Does that mean in this life you might not have problems? Yeah, you'll have problems. You know what happened with the prosperity? I'm not saying God won't prosper you, but the church went the prosperity message. Where did it go? God's not blessing me. He must not love me. You just cursed the early church. I pray God blesses you. But if He doesn't, praise God anyway. Yea, Lord, even if it's you who comes into the room to slay me, I will still serve you. That's the true church. The ecclesia, the called out ones. Peculiar, sanctified, set apart. I'm sharing this because I was in a church the other day that I spoke in the morning, Sunday school, in the afternoon they wouldn't let me speak because they're on that other side. See? But I know, it's interesting because I kept saying, I know, those are heresy. I think even when you use the Alexandrian. I'll give you an example. Alexandrian said instead of saying the only begotten Son of God, it says the only begotten of God. God begets Himself. No, you know what you just got rid of? Father, Son. The only righteous Father's righteous. The Son was righteous. And that's all who's righteous. Not you and me. And the Son comes to restore us to the Father. And righteousness is imputed by the Father because of the Son's righteousness. You see how it works? All glory to God. All praise to God. Why would God even consider me? Isn't that awesome? That's the good news. That God loves us. So that's the heresy that's going on in the church. The confusion that's going on in the church. And I'm not encouraging you to get into battles and argue over this thing. I'm just simply saying be aware of it. And know what you're studying and study it. And know that Satan said, you know what? I can't get rid of Jesus. I'll get rid of His Word. But you have His Word. See, it's precious. Without God's Word, we would never know Him. He's revealed Himself through His Word. And He reveals Himself to us through His Holy Spirit. So I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Because your understanding, you're watching TV and you lean to your own understanding, man, you're just going to get depressed. You know what depression is? Doing that which God hasn't called you to do. You know, if you want God to do it your way, you're going to get depressed because God's not going to do it your way. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Whoa. All? Wait a minute. If I do it in all ways, I'm going to get that bad grade. See, we sort of pick and choose. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your steps. It is not in man to direct his steps. None of us came as children knowing right from wrong until our parents said what? You cannot. And if you do, you'll be chastened. Isn't it interesting that God chastens us? But the devil doesn't chasten. He'll kill, tear down, and destroy. Who do you want to serve? Do you want to serve the world that will destroy you? Or do you want to serve your Heavenly Father who will bless you? In fact, Jesus said, I'll no longer call you servant, but friend. What good news. What joy. The mega church is, Rick Warren, for instance, the purpose-driven life. I just show you where this goes. Because once you're liberated from God's Word, you can go anywhere. And in that book, he uses As Above, So Below by the Message Bible. And you might come in and you say, well, no, my Bible says I will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now we have a tension. You ever notice that? You have a disagreement on scriptures in the Bible study and now there's tension. And of course, what happens that I was convinced both of you to put aside your position. What did I just do? I just got you to put aside the Word of God. Why would you put aside the Word of God? For the unity of the church? Gotcha. As above, so below. Rick Warren used. He earned a doctor's degree from Fuller Theological Seminary. Trained in this process. Peter Drucker was his mentor, a globalist. As above, so below. Why would he choose that verse? That is the most holy, sacred verse of Satan's Bible. Who would put that in a book for the Christians across this nation to read to convince other Christians to put aside the Word of God for the sake of unity in the church? You just went to humanism. You just did the dialectic process. It works. So I encourage you to stand on the authority of God's Word. If it costs you your life, it didn't. You gained your life. Because it's in His Word that we have life. That's why He said, I am the way. See the way? The Father's will. There are those who say, Lord, Lord, look at all the wonderful things we've done in Your name. Why did He respond, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you? You know how He knows you? You're doing the Father's will. If you're doing the Father's will. How would you like to be a father and nobody talks to Him? Have you talked to your Heavenly Father? Has He heard from you? He's saying, boy, I'm getting pretty lonely. I sure miss you. But Dad, you always lecture me. That's what dads do. That's what dads do. They love you. So be a good father. You got the problem with homeschoolers is the dads aren't there. When the boys hit, really the girls need to stay under mom all the way, but when the boys hit puberty, they need to be under dad. Adolescence is artificially produced. You need to sort of have a 12-year-old Christian bar mitzvah. For the girls and boys, you need to, a minister friend of mine says he takes them out, spends a couple days, goes through Proverbs and Psalms, and then at the end he'll take a marker and throw it down the hall and he'll tell his child, go pick it up. And they'll go pick it up, and you'll go, okay, Dad, and you go pick it up, bring it here, and bring it here. He takes it and throws it again, go pick it up, and then go pick it up, and bring it here. And his response is, now, from now on, when your mom gives you a command, that's what you do. Up until now, we have blessed you and we've taken care of you. Now you're a servant. You're going into apprenticeship. You know why we used to only have the eighth grade? Because after eighth grade, you learn to be mature. You started to be the husband and the wife that you were supposed to be when you got married. Now it's just give me, give me, give me entertainment. Dopamine, dopamine, dopamine. You see these people on the kids with those computer games. You look in their brain, you just see a spigot of dopamine flowing. They're on a drug. Get off the drug. Ask God to help you. And if you know, pray for one another. Pray for somebody. Ask somebody else to pray for you and help you to get off of the drug that the world is trying and Satan, the prince of the power of the air, is trying to drag you into. Yeah, that's deliverance. The Lord will deliver us from ourselves. I've met the enemy. It's me. It's always been me. Take care of this, the rest will take care of itself. So that's why I'll close. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. It's over here. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Let Him be the one who directs your steps.